Welcome to Boom 7 Meet the Owner with your host Stephen Dryden Hall, the podcast where we explore intriguing stories of local business pioneers. Each episode will unravel the unique journeys of entrepreneurs who have ventured into the world of business, faced challenges, and carved their path to success. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or budding business owner, or simply curious about the behind the scenes of local businesses, you're in for a treat. We'll explore the highs, the lows, and the valuable lessons learned along the way. From radio stations to finance companies, marquee businesses to top-end sports cars. Each episode brings you a VIP seat into the dynamic world of entrepreneurship. Get ready for inspiring stories, insightful conversations, and a peek into the minds of those shaping the business landscape. So get your ears on, join us on this journey. This is Meet the Owner, where business stories come to life. Let's go, people.
Hi, welcome to Boom 7 Meet the Owner. We've done our pilot with the owner of Revolution Radio, so now we're getting serious and we've got business, a real business, number one. Today we've got Hayley Proctor. She owns a business called Scribble, and we met a few years ago. Welcome, Hayley, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks Steve.
Good stuff. Can you just tell us a little bit about your business and where it's at the moment? Because we met in different situations, which I will bring up.
Okay.
But what do you do right now? And tell the audience.
Okay, so I work as Scribble Consultancy, and the business has just celebrated its 1 year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Birthday time.
Hello. Cake out.
Yeah. But we've worked on a number of projects, so mainly events projects, marketing support, and anything that needs a little bit of creative energy behind it.
Fantastic. I think when companies or individuals are stressed, I think they can't be creative. I think you're either in a creative zone or you're not. So having you as a consultant or a hand sort of gives you some free space to get that white piece of paper and actually do some creative times for someone's business. Is that quite accurate?
That's exactly it. So yeah, that's where the name Scribble comes from, really. I think there's nothing scarier than a blank piece of paper. So what I tend to do is meet the business owners or the people who are heading up the project, grab that very blank, scary piece of paper and just start scribbling all over it. And from those scribbles, amazing things tend to happen.
And I've seen your scribbles because they're on this pad and I can't read them. So that's a bit like my scribble. So I think already we've got something in common. We met because I run the Milton Keynes Food and Leisure Awards, and you used to have a cafe, didn't you?
I did.
What was the name of the cafe?
The Quirk Space.
And it was a vegan cafe?
It was a vegan cafe, an event and workshop venue, and we had a retail space as well. And it was quite unique in Milton Keynes because it was set up as a CIC, which meant we had like charitable objectives that we had to hit, and we were actually not for profit.
So I remember meeting you, and I think we got on straight away, and I said, oh, you should enter your cafe in the Food Awards. And you said to me, I can't afford the tickets. And then you started crying.
Yeah, it was pretty dramatic meeting.
Yeah, first meeting. I'm like, oh, your coffee's great. And then you started crying. Can you just explain why you cried? And I think that's where we bonded straight away.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well,
sorry to laugh.
sorry. Yeah. At my emotional distress.
Yes.
Well, you'd walked in and the first thing you'd done had been very kind. And we were actually at a point where the business was starting to struggle. So we'd established ourselves in March 2020, which might be a date that rings a bell for a lot of people because it was when the world officially closed.
Yeah, of course. Like, no one could predict that, right?
No one could predict that at all. So when we started the Quirk Space, we hadn't been operating, so we weren't eligible for any of the COVID support help.
So but no support.
No support. But we'd already made the commitment. We'd already got really excited, done all of our planning, signed the lease, got all of the legal papers up and running, and had registered as a CIC. So we decided all or nothing.
So I mean, I don't want to shout about myself, I'm going to. So I donated the tickets to you, didn't I?
You did.
And through the voting in Milton Keynes, I think it was our best year for votes. And what had happened is you won Best Cafe. Was it Newcomer or Cafe?
Best Newcomer.
Best Newcomer. Yeah. And you actually ended up winning the award, which I don't know how, we didn't predict that, obviously. We just wanted to help out. Uh-huh. Obviously, the business is closed now.
Yeah, we actually stopped trading August 2022.
Okay, so lots of people, including myself, they want a tea shop, cafe, coffee house. It's cool, you can serve people, la la la. What is the hardest thing about opening in a cafe business? Where you lived, because it's mm-hmm. normally, wasn't it?
That's right.
What's the hardest thing about that? And obviously, there's going to be highs and lows. But what was the hardest part? What could you nail that?
Okay. So the hardest part for me was probably the last 6 months of us being open and kind of the realization that we weren't actually operating in a way that could be viable because the world had changed so much. But then the thing is, you still have to open, you still have to keep operating. So I was working 100-hour weeks.
100 hours?
Uh-huh.
Literally?
Yeah, 100-hour
wow,
weeks.
Okay.
My house was less than 5 minutes away from the cafe.
Yeah.
I was never there. I actually genuinely think I missed out on about 2 years of my kids growing up.
Wow.
And I'm very surprised that my husband didn't just tell me to go away.
So you were passionate about getting into it and... Mm-hmm. It's when something's struggling in the background, but you're happy on your face to the customer. Because if you're moody and horribly sad, mm-hmm. people aren't coming back, are they? So you've almost got to put a face on. Was that quite difficult?
No.
No? Okay.
Because that is genuinely how I operate out in the world. And it's not because it's a mask. It's because I feel like with the right energy, you can make real difference.
100%.
So
and positives. So obviously it's not there anymore. So could you name two or three positives that... Throughout the whole project, we'll call it a project, mm-hmm. park it. What was good about it?
Generally everything.
Okay.
We had an amazing community. We had a great customer base. We were working with loads of small businesses to put on events and workshops and invite people in and use the space. And we actually hit all of our targets for the first 3 years. But the world had changed so much that those targets weren't relevant anymore. So that was a really hard pill to swallow, to see that on paper the business was doing exactly what it needed to do, but the situation that we existed in had changed beyond recognition.
So timing was not good.
Timing was not good. Yeah, that's a very polite way of putting that. It was terrible.
Would you do it again?
No.
It's clear cut.
That was very clear cut. So it was something that I had wanted to do ever since I moved into Olney. Yeah. So this year I'll have lived there for 14 years. And I moved there as a single parent with two children. And I would say that I didn't feel like there was a place in town that was like signaling to me as their customer. So that's where this tiny little grain of an idea started. And with my background in like events and marketing and management, I was like, right, I know I could make this happen. So it was just about waiting to find the space.
Anyone setting up a business that's public facing, how important is location?
Location. Wow. We had a bit of an interesting location.
You did.
We were off the beaten track, but it meant that the footprint of our building was much bigger than we could have anywhere
else.
It was
huge, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it actually meant that we could provide all of the services and events that we wanted to at a rate that was affordable to us at the time.
Fantastic. You've met a lot of people in that time, haven't you?
Yeah, loads.
So now you've got a business called Scribble, which is a consultancy for events and everything under sort of the marketing umbrella. Is that right to say?
Yeah, I think marketing is the label that kind of gets attributed to me, even if it's not necessarily the one that I put out there myself. But it's more about bringing in energy, enthusiasm, experience,
100%.
And making things happen.
So do you think that there's a customer or 20 customers that you met through the cafe that will potentially or already are a client in your new business, or they are one person away from someone you've met through that experience who are maybe a friend or an associate? Is there some links in there if you think about it?
Yeah, for sure. So I think my name and face were very much attached to the Quirk space because it was really... it was kind of my mission and I was in the building all day, every day. So I was really the link that was the person behind the business. And I think people have seen the change and the evolution of the business over that time and the energy that we brought to it. And they want a bit of that.
I agree. And you mentioned names. So we were chatting last week, I think, and talking of names, your mum is Jill Foster, dance school.
My mum is Jill Foster.
So my wife, she used to train with your mum when she was like a teenager. Like, what's that all about? She's kind of, in my mind, like this famous dance school teacher that's got a really, really good reputation. And that's your mum.
Yeah.
So how important were your parents when you were growing up to what you are doing now? Obviously you've had a big journey, but what type of parents were they?
Amazing parents. 100%.
That's nice, isn't it? That's
yes.
good.
Thanks, Mum. Thanks,
shout
Dad.
Out, Jill. Yes.
And I think they were amazing because they showed that if you really, truly believed in something, you could go out there, you could deliver it, do it the best of your ability, and you can become the person that is known for what you're doing in the world. So my mum's dance school, the Jill Foster Dance Centre, has been established.
Big shout out.
Big shout out. Woo-woo. Yeah. It's been established in Milton Keynes since 1980. So believe it or not, that dance school is even older than me.
Yeah, 43 years. Actually, I'm 44, and I remember the school and the reputation, and it was actually where I went to school. Mm-hmm. So I would see all the signs and posters. But on the way, I gave you a lift, and it turns out, I can't believe this as well, your mum met your dad at Woofton, which is where it was, and he started the Pits.
Yeah, so he's also amazing in his own world. Yeah, so he set up the Pits, which was at the forefront of the music scene in Milton Keynes.
Yes.
And that's kind of, again, a perfect example of having an idea, making it happen, and the legacy that can come off the back.
I can just say, I think we joked on the way in, I can see your mum walking through Woofton and your dad setting up and going, oh, who's that? That's kind of how I see it. Do you know the actual detail of how they said hello and stuff?
Well, they were friends for a little while before they started.
They
because
okay.
my mum was actually married before.
Don't say too much, because I think your mum hopefully is going to listen to this, so
yeah.
Keep it clean.
She was married, and my dad was just a very good friend, where that was the point at where the dance school was based in the leisure centre. And then actually they became closer when my mum's marriage was separating, and my dad, who I've always called my dad, is not actually my biological father.
Okay.
But I've lived with him since I was 4. My sister was 2. My mum turned up on his doorstep with black bin bags and 2 small children. And that is where we started.
And that makes,
a unit.
That kind of builds your character, who you are and what you like to do for people. I think you're very giving. I think when we first met, that is kind of one of your strengths, and probably everyone wins before you. I think that's kind of how you are. Don't answer that. But that, I think that's really interesting, because even the Pits was like a famous thing. It wasn't far from where I live when I was younger. Your mum's doing this thing, your dad's doing that.
Yeah.
That's just incredible. And I'm sure our producer knows the Pits, because he's in the scene. He probably knows your dad, actually.
He's nodding, yeah.
He's nodding, yes.
We better do a shout out for my dad as well. It's Chris Kemp, Professor Chris Kemp.
Professor Chris Kemp. So what is he a professor in? You told me earlier. What, tell the audience.
Okay, well, so he started off in the Pits, but then he actually went into the world of academia, and he ended up setting up a lot of degree programs about music industry management, and he was also involved in things like setting up cricket ground management and football team management as actual degree programs. So he was really at the wave of like vocational degrees. So
creative and very intelligent as well. I mean, that's a good mix, isn't it?
Yeah, perfect mix,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And he was there at the right time when your mum needed a shoulder to cry on.
Exactly.
At school, what were you like? If I asked 5 of your friends, if you are still friends, what was Hayley like at school?
I think I haven't changed that much.
Okay.
I'm kind of sat here now with like my big blocky fringe and my little bun on my head.
You didn't realise this was going to be on video. Oh my God, my hair.
Good thing I didn't just turn up in a full school uniform. That would have been
weird. I mean, you have changed your jumper, so that's good.
I have changed my jumper. I've gone for the Dennis the Menace. It's my rebel jumper.
Yep.
But I've always been someone that's really easily been able to see the positive in any situation. And I think that's kind of a little bit of a default. And also the humour.
Yeah, definitely.
I was at school, just clown. Yep. Absolute clown.
Creative,
yeah, but creative and also stubborn. So
the real Hayley,
stubborn as well, yeah. And I think that was mainly because of you know, like when you get a teacher and you don't click.
Yeah.
So I decided not to follow doing art as a degree because I didn't like my teacher at A level.
Yeah.
Obviously, the only person that affected. Is me.
Is yourself.
I didn't do my coursework. I sulked around and just hung out in the back of the art studio, literally like a moody teenager.
But you knew you could do it, but you got stubborn and decided, I don't want to do that. Has that changed through business? Because I don't think you can get away with that. You can't be like, I'm not going to scribble for this client because this is my bit. You've got to provide a service.
Yeah.
Right?
So I can be stubborn. That's definitely still a characteristic of mine. But that stubbornness tends to come from really believing in what I'm doing. And that can be like the ethics of something or best practice or even like professional standards. Like that's something that I'll hold really tight onto. And it's like no compromises on that.
Amazing.
Value and quality has got to be there. With and the creative side too.
Massively creative. I think there's the T's and C's and the spatial stuff in events in particular, mm-hmm. and there's the creative side. And I think what your business does is helps in every aspect, isn't it? And you probably yeah. get the right people to come in and do that. In terms of Scribble, have you got any events coming up this year that we can look out for in terms of or desires that you want to do?
Okay. A few things in the pipeline. Nothing fully committed with regards to signed, sealed and delivered. But it feels like there's a shift in Milton Keynes at the moment. It feels like there's a real move towards creativity and actually showcasing the city and what can be achieved in the spaces that we've got. So I would love to be involved in that.
Yeah, well, even if you look at Santander, the old Abbey National, they've got Unity Place. Yeah. And what they've done is they've created a space for the public to come and enjoy street food, mm-hmm. big screens. They've got an auditorium for shows. There's a sky bar. And what you wouldn't really see a bank do that. So if a bank's doing that, the creativity in business is happening.
Yeah.
COVID, I don't really like talk about COVID, but what's happening is, you know, they want people in business want more people to be in their office. So there's got to be benefits to why they come in there, and flexibility has to be there. Is that something that you're going to help with too?
Yeah, I think the line between home and work has blurred. I think a lot of people were working from home, but now what they're trying to do within the corporate space is to bring in some of those home comforts into the office environment. So I'm not always sure that the blurring is a good thing. Okay. And I think like boundaries is such a key thing to have set in place. But I think that corporations and office spaces are having to work really hard to actually be seen to be a perk when people can and are working from home.
Well, it's a good question, because I feel like the employee, a little bit like a football player, they almost think or they are more important than what the company is. And I think there's a thin line of the right benefits and the respect of them and us. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a tough thing to get right, I think, because, you know, I've got my own business. I don't have to tell anyone anything, but I've got a client and I want to please my client and give them value and do more than what is transactional, because you build yourself with a reputation that you deliver something that you're going to deliver on time or before the time at a good price and add value to that project.
Yeah, see, I'm smiling now because saying what the key phrase, which is you have to add value.
Yeah.
There's no way that companies and organizations and businesses of any size can get away with ticking the box exercises anymore.
No, and do you give that as a strategy to your clients? Because there is that sort of 9-to-5 job and the sort of you work here and you come in here, you have your lunch then and you leave mm-hmm. here and you get a certain amount of holiday. You've almost got to still be a little bit rigid in the thinking, because not all companies are as flexible as what you can do in your business. So does that all come out on the blank piece of paper with the scribbles at the beginning of all your conversation?
Yeah, not all the conversations, just depends on what I'm there to kind of help with. But I have a fear that companies and businesses get complacent and they think that because you're paying someone a salary, that they owe you everything. It's not the case. Value has really got to be seen to be going both ways. And I feel like organisations have got to support the individuals and actually make sure that they're given credit and recognition and support in what they want to achieve. And then in turn, those employees should feel invested in and then want to invest back into the company. So it should be a self-fulfilling thing. Investing in the people, they invest in the business, which means it can go round and round and round.
So I had a conversation with one of my clients this week, and I said to them last spring, so we're about a year, I said, oh my God, I love this place. Your staff are like the John Lewis partners, the staff in John Lewis. And they're like, oh, thanks very much. That's really, really good. Like, that's amazing. To the point when you go up to the cafe and they sit you down and you feel like you're in like a VIP waiting area, ready to board a flight.
Mm.
And this meeting yesterday, and they booked us again, so we're doing some more summer events to do with food, DJ, host. Chris is looking at me, the producer. He'll be booked in. He's safe, as he laughs. But they said to me they're really, really investing in their staff this year, to the point they're going to make employees partners of the business.
Yeah.
So if they do well, they get rewards. If mm-hmm. they do okay, they get less rewards. And if the sales aren't as great, then you get paid as normal and, you know, we keep building and building. And I think that's what businesses should be doing anyway.
Definitely.
Because otherwise they might leave, you know, looking around. But I suppose you give that sort of that fresh look to a big number of people within a business. So who would you normally, who would be your client within the business? So what is their role? Is it usually the owner? Is it usually HR or marketing? Who,
depending on the scale of the business. So sometimes I get a direct line in straight to the CEO, yeah. which is always nice.
How do you do that? How do you drum up new business? Because I seen on LinkedIn a few weeks ago that you do like a little January thing where you're like, hey, I'm free for coffee. Come and meet me. You get half an hour.
Oh, does anyone just see Stephen's like what do you call it?
What's that?
what do you call it when you copy somebody? Impression. Oh, like, right. You've got to see
Was that you?
It was like this.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're on the video, this is what I need to get a bun, stick it on top of my head. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That completely threw me though.
But that whole come and meet me for a coffee or a tea or tell me why you do that.
Okay. So that is how my whole business started. Okay. So off the back of the Quirt Space closing, there was a lot of admin that needed to be done. And I was actually working for maybe 4 months behind the scenes just to make sure liquidation went through properly, staff were able to claim expenses, meeting with liquidators. It was like, it was a really heavy admin process, and I don't think anyone really knew that I was still squirreling away for all those months afterwards.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, real tough, real tough. But the fact that I was able to tie it up neatly, I didn't hide from anything, spoke to everybody that was involved and really made sure that I made the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, of course. Because at the end of the day, you still are the person that people relate to. And if you haven't paid your bills or you don't talk to someone because you're scared that you didn't do that, that's not good for your future business.
No, definitely not. So the turn of new year between 2022 to 2023, which was about 12 months ago now, that felt like a really big deal for me. It felt like a real fresh start, clean slate. And I put just a post out on my social media saying, feel like I'm ready to give someone a bit of my energy. Who's got a project? Who wants some Hayley? Let's make it happen.
So who was the first person that went, yeah, I'll have a coffee with you? And was it a chat or was there a real bit of potential business? Because some people love to just meet up for breakfast. I'm that guy as well. Just to catch up. How's your week? Oh, I just played tennis. Oh, what? You're supposed to be working. It was a meeting, right? Yeah. But who was the first person? Do you remember?
I had a really lovely local response, which was nice. And one of the first people that I met with was a holistic practitioner in Olney. And they actually ended up being a one-on-one client about 6 or 7 months. And that was more like an accountability meet. So we would meet, drink coffee.
Yes.
Scribble. Yeah. And then plan for the week ahead whilst reviewing the one that had just gone. So it was that one step at a time.
Yeah.
Almost like an extra brain, extra pair of ears in someone's business.
And holistic.
Yeah.
Do you think that first person was probably what you needed as well to go and have that conversation? Because that's only going to be good, isn't it? The way they talk and their visions.
Yeah, it was nice actually, because it was a business that was out of what I think of as a more traditional organisation. It was a lady who had her own sole trader set up.
Yeah.
And we met like that, but I also met with artists, I met with potters, I met with people that were thinking about opening up their own cafe space and they wanted to pick my brains. Well, there you go. But I've also worked in the charity sector with venues, with events. Yeah, like the breadth of the people that I met off of that initial post was incredible. And actually, from that point, it allowed me to make a few decisions about what was a yes, what was a no, what I felt like I could actually bring to people and actually formalise some of those services.
And were you worried? So I, similar to you, maybe a bit longer for me, you take the leap.
Yeah.
But when you haven't really got a choice because you've gone through this business that hasn't worked, didn't work at the time, you can just, there's a bit of freedom where you're like, do you know what, it can't be worse than that, so let's go and have these chats. And it builds from that client. So once you've got one, you get a bit of confidence, don't you? And then you're like, oh look, I'm going to post a bit more, I'm going to go out there a bit more and go from there. How important is referrals? So now you've got a few clients throughout that first year.
Oh, referrals key for me actually, and I think it's because I am a one-man band. It's me, myself and I. And to have that social proof from the organizations that I work with out into their extended network, It helps. It gives the credibility. And obviously, since last January, which was over a year ago, I've now got a portfolio of work that people can see real existing in the world.
So really interesting. I met a friend, a colleague, a potential client or collaborator last week. We've known each other for 20 years. They worked for a big corporate, also marketing. So us three marketing in the bag. And this lady, I won't mention her name because she's going to be on the show. Chris, the producer, would mention her because that's what he does. But her vision is to have this business that's turning over £1 million. She wants 12 staff, all creative, events, high energy, all of this. And she's got her certain targets. And I said to her, well, why do you want to do that?
That's the key question.
Like, why do you want to do that? Why that million? Why 12 staff? Why? Yeah. And she was like, oh, I don't, you know, I just want to, I want something to create and sell so that in the future I can support probably my children when they're older. So I was like, cool, that's not what I want. But it's quite interesting with you, that's not what you want.
No.
You're more, I think, have a few clients, help them grow their business, work on a variety of industries, and almost just enjoy your day and your week and all of that. Am I right in saying that?
Definitely. So for me, success is not about the amount of money coming in, the amount of staff that I've got, the portfolio, signing off with certain names. It's more about how it works for me in my life. So I have a very good friend, Ebony Allard. Shout out, Ebony.
Big shout. Oh, we like shout outs.
We like shout outs. Yes. but I've known her for, I think we worked out, it's over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And something that is key to all of the work that she does is defining what success is for you, working out how you can view things through your own personal filter to work out if it's a yes or a no. And so my general title of my filter is Hilarious Adventure.
Yes.
If stuff is not a hilarious adventure in the parameters that I've set in my filter, for me, it's a no.
So this podcast sits in there, I'm sure. Are we getting a tick?
It was pretty hilarious adventure. You picked me up. We didn't pay attention to the...
yeah. In only.
Yeah, I got in dodgy. A van with a man.
Yeah, van in a man. Yeah.
We talked on the way over. We got lost. We went the
That's
wrong
my
way.
Fault.
It ended up taking us half an hour to get here when it was a 15-minute journey.
But we've seen a nice view of the sun over that big house.
Look at him trying to make excuses like it was done on purpose.
Oh, always on purpose, yeah.
But yeah, hilarious adventure. And for me, that means flexibility, freedom, having control over what I can, making stuff happen, constantly thriving. It's not about survival for me anymore. No. Like, I think towards the end of the quiet space, when you met me, when I burst into tears, that was because I'd had to go into survival mode. For me, that is not a good fit. Like
tingles there. Tingles down the back. I'm with you with that. That's exactly how I'm doing that. And I don't chase the money. What I try and do is help people do what they want to achieve. I do like to find out why they're doing their why.
Because
if they're chasing something that's wrong, I don't think it's ever going to work.
So if you're right, you said wrong, but it's always got to be from that person, doesn't it? And as long as they've got the substance and the real truth in what their value is, then there is no such thing as the right or the wrong, but it has to be thought about. You can't just buy a blueprint strategy, apply it to every business, and every business will get the same results because that's not the way of the world. There's no point in me going out and saying, oh, I'm going to copy exactly somebody else's social media templates, because that is designed for them as a person. And for me, it's not about follow a number or the money coming in or the kind of even the kudos within the industry. It's about whether I'm seen to be making change. I can see things growing. I can see the impact that I'm having as an individual, and all of that is coming with positive energy.
So you don't get four weeks holiday a week, your week,
four
a year
weeks
even.
A week.
Cool. I don't do the maths. Don't think that even works. A year, so you don't get paid to have a holiday.
But this past 12 months, I've travelled more than I've done in years. I actually took over a month in Spain.
You did mention that actually.
At the beach. I didn't wear trousers or shoes for 4 weeks. You can't do that in an office.
No. Well, you might get told off.
You might get
HR.
Told off, HR. I've taken long weekends away. I've been there to support family when they've had unexpected things pop up. And all of that time, I was working.
Cool. And it's not like you're working, is it? Like, there's this feeling like, oh, I'm just going to do this for a bit and an hour. It's not really work when you love it. If you love what you do, it's not work, is it?
And it's not work, but I work really hard at it.
Yeah, of course.
When I'm working.
And so would you like some more clients that say, oh, Hayley, come over to Croatia and just work on this thing for us for 3 weeks? Would you, is that something you'd like to do?
Sure.
I'm sold. Anyone who needs someone in Croatia, Hayley's like, I'm available all of a sudden. I'm there too. The producer, she's coming as well. You can't bring your children, though, Chris. Even better. He's signed up. Anya's not happy.
But I think you have to be open to opportunity. And I think you have to put out into the world what that opportunity looks like for you. And if you know something's a yes, chase it. And if it's a no, let it go.
Do you think you're ever going to work with someone ever again?
Not through choice. Okay. So actually, in that window, you know, I said before, when I was working on all of the Quirk Space closing down and doing all of that admin towards the end of 2022, I applied for some full-time marketing manager 40-hour-a-week positions.
Oh, yes.
I went out and bought a suit.
You got a suit? Oh,
I got a suit.
Hate suits.
I am. And I went through the interview process like a number of times. Like,
Why do they do that? Well,
four interviews for the same position. I went through four with one place, another three with another. One was through a recruitment agency. So I was really kind of like, I'm just going to do this.
Yes.
I got to the second position in every single one. And the feedback I got was, I was seen as the risky choice. I love that. I want to always be the risky choice, because if you take a risk and it pays off, it's great.
100%. But you didn't get the jobs.
I didn't want the jobs in the
end. So weren't made for you anyway, isn't it? No. What sort of industries were they?
All marketing. So one was like a startup, which was actually in Northampton, which is where we are today.
We are, yes.
Yeah. Another one was working in an agency position in Central Milton Keynes. Another one was working for a double glazing company.
Oh, yes. Get your windows.
That wasn't the best experience. I probably shouldn't have applied for that position because it wasn't a good fit. And I feel like in the interview,
Survival still? Were you still in that mindset?
That was still survival, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I was saying to you on the way, if the producer lets us carry on in the future, we're going to invite people back because you're really at the start of this scribble journey.
Yeah, we're just 12 months,
18 months' time. What does success feel like, look like to you if you come back on the show and tell some stories? What would you have in your vision?
So success for me, more of the same, if I'm honest. The last 12 months for me has been exactly what I needed my business to be. Flexible, changing, jumping on products and projects and really making a difference, seeing the growth come through. Like, as much as I kind of come across as this very like lighthearted, creative person, I love a good fact and a spreadsheet and an insight and an analytics. Yeah, yes. Because that's the evidence. And it's no good floating around going, I can do amazing things, if you haven't got the substance for it to sit on. So I think that's it. I think more creative projects, actually bring in enthusiasm and excitement into things that don't always initially seem like they were exciting projects. I think there is always a twist that you can do on everything.
So what did we do? Did we meet up for tea or a breakfast? I can't remember what we did now.
We went for tea.
Oh, with the teapots.
Yeah, at the Swan Revive.
Swan Revive, yeah. Mark's the owner. And I said, right, we're going to go to this place. You get these China teapots. They're like really lovely painted. Oh, so nice. It's warm. There's a fireplace. All grey. And it's an old hotel. And blah, blah, blah. Mark's great. Blah, blah. And we got these really rubbish white cups, white plates. Absolute shocking. I'm like, is Mark here? No, he's not here. And he turned up, didn't he? Sort of towards our chat. And I was like, Mark, where's the... Like, I didn't even say hello. I was like, where's the nice stuff? And he's like, oh, you should have just asked. I was like, oh, we will next time. But it's just important. But I think seeing lots of people, building your network, getting referred, is super important. And also, we've got a chat. So you and I've got a proposal that I'm working on right now, which is an event, multiple events, actually. And I'm looking to bring you into that project because your energy...
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact you love a spreadsheet. So I'm like, I'm not very good at that. So that you could go do that. And if we win it, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years worth of work. And it's for exactly the same reasons. It's food related. It's music related. You know, we could tap into Jill Foster to say, look, we're doing this kids thing. Can we do something really creative? Mm-hmm. And as long as everyone wins, and my philosophy is win, 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 make sure everyone wins, that you're not greedy, then you can form some really nice partnerships. And I see you as being a partnership to a business, small, medium or large.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something you think you are? You're like the extension of a business.
Yeah. Fantastic. I think so. Almost like a plug-in option.
Plug-in?
Yeah, plug-in, baby.
Free pins? Baby.
Depends if I'm in Spain in the summer. That's only a
yes. Yeah, Spain. She's in Spain.
I'm in Spain. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So thank you for coming today. I think you're going to do really well. And it's not even to the point of really well doing volumes of work. It's more you're just going to enjoy projects and helping people grow their business. And mm-hmm. I think that is successful. Yeah. And I think there's going to be some really good scribble stories that are going to happen in the next 12 to sort of 18 months.
Hilarious adventures.
Well, yeah, hilarious adventures. I'll pick you up in my white van. And
yeah, that's dodgy. Not an open invitation to everyone, yeah, just so you know, putting that out in the world.
Dodgy as you like. And I think at the moment, so you've got a website, I've checked your website out, it's actually really cool. To the point as well, we're going to work on some of my stuff in terms of creative writing, because that's something you're pretty good at.
For sure.
So not a robot.
Nope.
Not ChatGPT and all the things there. You actually Mm-mm. can create creative writing. So if you need that service, that's something you do?
Creative writing, yeah.
Fantastic.
Like imagery, like campaigns for social media, websites. If you want to pick my brain, there's plenty of it in there.
So don't go to Hayley first. Come to me, because I also offer these services. So we might not air this show. But no, it's all about collaboration for me.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
Even when someone comes to you and you can't do a project, you might refer me. I might know where to do something. I'm not as good as you. Yeah. I'll come to you. And I think that's a win-win for everyone. So if you need creativity, someone to scribble down with,
mm-hmm.
You've got a website, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's the address? It's without the www?
www.scribbleconsultancy.co.uk.
Fantastic. And good luck.
Thank you.
I look forward to working with you. I know we were going to do that anyway. And I think you'll do really, really well. And this will go out. And if anyone needs those services, get in touch and we'll make it happen.
For sure.
Thank you, Hayley.
Thank you.
Right.